offering, may it be used for kingdom work and change somebody's life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And the church says, So we're in a short series right here, maybe three messages last week, this week, next week, maybe another one. We'll see. I never know what the Lord's going to do. But we're talking about just waiting. How many know sometimes you got to wait on the Lord? Come on, if you've been saved more than a day, you know there are times you got to wait on the Lord. I'm going to go to Isaiah 61. And this scripture is repeated, most of it, in the New Testament as well as the ministry of Jesus. Jesus picks this verse up and he says, "This is me." Really ticked them off. Amen. He was in the temple and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." Woo! How many know if the Spirit is on you, there's a reason? It's not just to make you feel good. There's a reason. Here it is. Here it is. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Woo. To proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prisons to those who are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, Jubilee, and the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Wow. Bottom line, when Jesus came, he didn't waste any time. How many believe he wasn't a time waster? Even as a kid, probably, he was playing church. None of you played church when you were little? I played Catholic church when I was little. It was a very boring play. Jesus. Okay. Listen. Jesus was on a mission. He knew what that mission is, and he stuck with it. And that mission is repeated here in Isaiah chapter 61. He is on a mission. What? And why is he on a mission? He's on a mission for us because he realizes we live in Babylon. How many know about Babylon? That ancient city that's always symbolic, right, of the devil's kingdom. And the Jews at one point were living in Babylon. And a lot of the Psalms and a lot of scriptures refer to that time, that 70 years that they were in captivity and what they had to go through and what they had to face. I'm not sure if all Christians really understand this, but we're getting to be a lot different than the world. And if a Christian doesn't know that, it's because they're drifting with the world and becoming more like them instead of more like Jesus. All you got to do is turn the TV on and you realize you don't relate to this anymore. Especially all the craziness going on lately. Young people, don't get me started. Young people who were taught in schools and high schools and colleges that this is a crummy country, that we need to tear things down, and we need to be communists. That's the key. Let's be socialists. And capitalism, let's tear it down. They don't realize the only reason they can afford to go to school is because of capitalism. But they're getting a false image, and they're tearing this country apart. And listen, it's not about the country. It's about the spiritual kingdom. Don't ever politicize the gospel. This country is what it is. We're going to stand regardless. Wherever we live, whatever we do, it's always about the kingdom of God. Don't confuse politics with religion. I'm just saying there's a darkness that's coming, that's pulling people away from God, because these same people that want to tear up the country want to tear up the church. And they sit around and talk about how stupid we are, how ignorant we are. We got to educate these people. We need to save these people. Amen. And the church is drifting with this. I don't ever want to look or act or talk like a Babylonian. I want to look, talk, and act like a child of the King. 10 years ago, you can go to work every day and nobody would ever know you're a Christian. I don't think that works anymore. Because they're really different. And unless you're really good at hiding and faking, I'm telling you, they will figure out you're one of those. And they will do whatever they want to do to try to bring that. How many know we're living in Babylon? And we could talk so much in the scriptures, but let's go to Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. And Habakkuk the prophet said, "Oh Lord, how long," say how long, "shall I cry and you will not hear? Even cry out to you, violence, and you will not save. How long, Lord? How long?" How many times have you prayed and prayed and how long? Sometimes the trial isn't so much in what you're going through, but how long you have to go through it. That's the trial. It's not just, can you make it past this? Can you live with this and still serve God? That's the trial. And that's the one that a lot of people don't pass. And they prayed for 70 years to come out of Babylon. Come on, that's generational. But how many know they came home? Psalms 40 and verse 1, we're reading from the Message translation. We were supposed to read from the Message translation. Can we get that or not? Real quick. If not, I'll just go ahead with this. But he said, "I waited patiently," say patiently, "for the Lord. And he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps." Come on. "He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies." Ooh, come on, church. Habakkuk was on a roll. I mean, David, I'm sorry. Forget who I'm talking about. David was on a roll. And how many know he gets on a roll a lot? Let's look at this a little bit. Go back to verse 1. And if you could switch to the Message, that'd be good. But the first word we see there, the first thing we see there is wait. I waited. We sometimes read these stories and we know how it ends. We don't sometimes realize how long it took. So David said, "I waited patiently." Wow. I waited. I waited. Oh, nobody wants to hear this. I can't get an amen. Especially today. Come on. Oh, Jesus, help us. I mean, today you put something in the microwave and scream at it because it took 30 seconds. Hurry up! You used to take your grandma all day to fix that. Come on, grandma. Yeah. Come on. Sometimes you go to the microwave and there's 2 seconds on it. I say, my God, 2 seconds? They probably were impatient with that. I mean, we're in the microwave generation. We want it now. Let's get it over with. Come on. Come on, God. Sometimes you got to learn how to. Oh, that's not fair. I don't want to wait. Well, tough. So why is God making me wait? Is he punishing me? No. There's something about the timing of God. Come on. Something about the timing of God. I'll probably get into this next week too. But Jesus talks about this in Luke, and he said, you know, be patient. Because God is trying to do something in the world. He's trying to get everybody saved. Now that's not going to happen, but he's waiting. And because he's waiting, sometimes you have to wait. Because your blessing might come through something, somebody that needs to get saved. So don't question the wait, just wait. And remember, God's waiting too. But sooner or later, he's going to say, time's up. Time's up. Well, more on that next week. Oh, it's going to be good next week. I can't wait to hear what I've got to say. My God, can you get those any smaller? Still in the King James. Okay. I don't know what y'all doing up there. Oh, there's the message. But it's verse 4. Okay, I'm in the first part. Verse 5. Okay, no, go the other way. I'm waiting. That's later. 1 through 4 is above that. And they that I'm waiting. You see what we got to put up with? You see? You're waiting too. You're waiting. But I did read it. I did read it. I mean, it's on here. It should be on there. Okay. Anyway, let's look at this. First of all, we have to be willing to wait. Number two, listen. It says he looked, he listened, and he lifted. Three L's. He looked, he saw me. He listened, woo, come on. And he lifted me. He lifted me. Oh, my God, hallelujah. That's what it says in verse 1, if we could see it. Amen. Wow. And then let me give you some words that start with S. I couldn't do L's everywhere. I ran out of L's. But next, this scripture tells us that he stood me up. Sometimes you think, yeah, oh, man, I got up. I got through that. Quit saying I mean, you did, but he got you through. He stood you up. God, hallelujah. He stood me up. And then the second S is, and he steadied me. Sometimes he can stand you up, but you're like, oh. No. That was me last Sunday. He stood me up and he steadied me. How many know you can be standing on the rock but just about ready to fall off? Come on. Just go to these S's and we'll be fine. Say, he steadied me. Then it says, and he put me in a sure place. S-U-R-E. It's not just that he steadied you, but he put you in a place that is sure. It's going to be okay. It may look bad, but you're in a good place. He put me in a sure place. That's third. And then fourthly, it says, and he taught me how to sing. He taught me how to sing. You know, when you're singing, everything's pretty much okay. Come on. If you're going through your day, I'm a whistler. How many whistlers do we have here? How many don't know how to whistle? Okay. I'm a whistler. I mean, I'll be walking these hallways and I know I'm not a good whistler. But I like to whistle songs. But sometimes the Lord will give you a song that you don't know, but it's a song you can sing. When they were in Babylon, look it up. When they were in Babylon, the Babylonians said, hey, Hebrews, we hear you love to sing. Sing us a song. Well, first of all, I don't sing to the Babylonians. Sing me a song. And someone said, how can we sing? Oh, somebody reads their Bible. And it says, and one place it says, our harps are hanging in the willows. Our instruments are gone. Our voice is gone. How can we sing in a strange land? But then it says, but we will anyway. At some point, he can give you a song that you start singing. Did you ever get a song in your head you can't get out? Yeah, come on. Sometimes I get the wrong song in my head. Here I am, an ordained bishop doctor in the church of God, and all day long I'm singing a beer commercial. It's bad. Oh, it's the truth. But what I do, I start going through my playlist. And say, there's got to be a song here that'll stick. I keep going through until I find a song that'll stick. And then I'll sing that all day long. Amen. He'll give you a song that connects to what you're going through, a song of hope, a song of deliverance, a song of mercy, a song of power. And as you sing it, God begins to do what you're singing. Give God a praise, amen. Woo. And then one more, see, he lets others see what he has done in you. Come on, church. And I think sometimes that's why, one of the reasons why he does what he does in your life. That's why you need to testify, because somebody else needs to hear what you went through. Someday your testimony will get somebody through the same thing you went through. God's not a respecter of persons. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So we need to turn away from what the world worships and turn away from their sure things, because they think, if I only had enough money, if I just had the right job, If I lived in a bigger house, if I just had a certain car, I could be happy. Some say if I had a certain wife, come on, ladies, some of you were thinking about if I only had the right husband, I... Oh, act like it never occurred to you. Amen. It never occurred to me. Let's be clear. Amen. When Gloria says she made me the man I am, I say amen. She gives God no credit. But anyway, are you okay? Do you think you'll pay for this? How many think I'll pay for this? Yeah, it's going to be bad, I know. I'm just teasing. I got the best wife in the world. She did make me. Molded me. Hey, man, I got the bruises to show. I need to quit. I need to quit. Let's go to verse 5. Psalms 40 and verse 5. You know when I do this crazy stuff, it is not in the notes, right? You know, just blame the Holy Ghost. Okay. So after all that, David says this, many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works. Whew, come on. When you're waiting, remember the wonderful works which you have done and your thoughts toward us. Cannot be recounted to you in order. I can't read them back to you. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Some of you hadn't been saved very long, but I'm here to tell you, I've been saved enough to know I can't number the blessings. They are more than can be numbered. Remember that when you're waiting. My God, my God, my God, my God. Jesus, help us. Sin brings us it's because of sin. Sin came into the world. And people ask the question, why would God allow this? He didn't. But sin does what sin does. What is sin? It's the wrong choices that people made. And those choices affect the family, affect the home. They affect people around you. People say, oh, that's nobody's business. No, it's a lot of people's business, what you do and how you live. Come on. It affects others. My God. And because of sin, and because Jesus, God's being patient in bringing everybody in, that's why sometimes we have to wait. But sooner or later, he brings us. How many know in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve went from a garden to a grave? Now they have to die. From a garden to a grave. Well, God brings us from graves back to gardens. Someday we'll see the whole garden someday. Right now, we just get to peek in. Whew. Remember when Jesus rose from the dead? And Mary saw him? And she thought he was the gardener. Wow. Perhaps Jesus looks like a gardener because that's what he does. He gardens us. We're his garden, making us grow, making us prosper, making us fruitful. That's his job. That's what he does in us. Because he brought us from a grave, dead, lifeless, to gardens, life, and reproduction. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. Here's what Peter says. You are a what? Generation. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. His own. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Woo. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Come on, Peter. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. Look at the words. You're chosen. The devil's always trying to tear you down. Oh, you're nothing. God's nowhere to be found. You're a nobody. You're worthless. No, no, no. No, he chose me. We say, well, I chose. No, you didn't choose anything. You just finally gave up. Because he chose you. Act like it. Come on. Put your chest out. I'm chosen. Now, don't get all that, but just remember, you're chosen. And then he says, you're royal. I got royal blood. I'm in the king's family. Oh, glory to God. I have royalty. What does royalty mean? It means authority. It means resources. Woo! It means you have things that you rule over. Quit acting like you're nobody with nothing. You're chosen as a royal in the kingdom of God. My God. Then he says we're family. Family. I think we talked about this last week that all your DNA was from the enemy. Listen, this born again is not just a cute little saying. Your DNA, your spiritual DNA literally changes. And you can't trace anything back through the devil. But now you have a new DNA, which means you're in a new family, means you're related to different people, means you have a different destination. I don't know why that doesn't move more of you. Amen. See, I have different DNA. Y'all know what DNA is, right? Oh, 10 of you. Okay, one of these days. Okay. Priests. We're priests. What does that mean? The priest, the job of the priest was to stand between God and the people, to bring the people to God and God to the people. That's your job. You're in the middle between God and this world. You're the gateway for people to become saved. Can I get an amen? Then he says, we're connected. We're connected. And then he says, we're special. We're special. Praise God. Whew. Why? It's because he's a good, good. He's a good, good, good God. We say that all the time, but what does good mean? What does it really mean? It means mercy. It means you got comfort. Compassion, patience, favor, grace. One person said he is giving and forgiving. Woo! He forgives and gives. My God, what a God we serve. He's a good, good God, even when you don't understand, he's still good. Even when you've been waiting, he's still good. Yeah, that's what it means. And his goodness will give us a praise. Let's conclude with Hebrews 13, verse 13 through 15. Therefore, let us go to him, Jesus, outside the camp. See, you got to leave the city to go to the cross. He's not in the city, as it were. He was on the cross.
Oh, Jesus.
And we have to leave Babylon. We can't do it physically, but we do it mentally and spiritually. We make a decision. I'm not a Babylonian anymore. So we go to him outside on a hill on a cross. We find him there. Oh, my God, help us. Yes, yes. Bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city. But we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him, let us continually, offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to him. In the Old Testament, they would give a goat. They would give a bull. They would give a dove. Are you hearing me? It was a sacrifice. And they would put it on the altar. They'd light it on fire and it would ascend. And as it goes up, the blessings came down. Well, we don't have to. Aren't you glad we don't have to bring bulls and goats to church? He might be a little goaty, but I'm talking about real goats, lambs and doves. We don't have to bring animals anymore. But sacrifices are still being made. Do you realize when you praise him, it's like that sacrifice in the Old Testament. It rises like smoke, and God honors that and sends down his blessings. My God, hallelujah. Sometimes, my God, we get tempted to stop praising him because what we're going through doesn't make any sense. And we say, where's God? He's nowhere to be found. I'm just waiting and waiting. How long, oh God? How long? And we don't realize that in the middle of him doing nothing, if you'll give him praise, that might be your very answer. Praise him when you don't feel like it. Praise him when you can't really think of any reason to praise him. Praise him in the pit. Praise him in the darkness. Praise him whatever you're going through. Just give him, come on, you know what I'm talking about. Give him a praise. See, I don't care how I feel. I praise you anyway. I don't care what my eyes see. I praise you anyway. Glory. Woo! Glory to God. Stand to your feet and praise him. Come on, come on, come on, stand.